Hello, you're listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. For this, our November 2015 podcast, we're going to be talking about family law with Claire Huntington, who's an Associate Dean for Research and a Professor of Law at Fordham University. Professor Huntington is interested in how family law and related institutions that support it don't align with the needs of many of today's families, particularly given a shift in marriage trends in the United States.
So we've had a real change in the United States over the last couple of decades where marriage used to be, most people got married. It was not correlated with income. And now we've really moved to a place where upper-income families, certainly people with college education, tend to get married. People with sort of moderate amounts of education also get married, although they are also somewhat more likely to divorce. But lower-income individuals are much less likely to ever get married. And so as a result, we're now having many, many children who are born to unmarried parents. In fact, 40% of children are now born to unmarried parents. And that's heavily concentrated among lower income families, but is also starting to spread actually into middle income families and even a little bit into upper income families as well.
In considering how well family law works, Huntington notes that it can present all sorts of challenges for families. And while this may even apply to married families, the model that family law is arguably based on, the challenges are even greater for non-marital families.
For married families, it presents all kinds of problems. Certainly when they get married, that tends to work okay. But for when families get divorced, there are all kinds of ways in which the legal system can exacerbate acrimony between couples. But as for all of its faults with marital families, the real problem is when you try and take family law and apply it to non-marital families. And that's really what I've been talking about, is this fundamental mismatch that we have a lot of assumptions about what families are based on married families, and then we use that and apply that to unmarried parents, and it really just doesn't work.
Further, Huntington argues that it's not just the laws themselves that matter, such as those that encompass the legal rules about marriage, divorce, and child support, but also the broader context in which the laws operate.
It's also the institutions that we have to help families negotiate changes, so family court. It's also the norms that we have around what do we think mothers do, fathers do, you know, what's the place of children. And then it's also much more broadly the structures and policies that we have that really set the table for family life.
From Huntington's perspective, the basic problem is not so much that family law treats married and unmarried families the same, but that it treats these families so differently.
So for example, and this is mostly affects fathers. So for a man, if he is married to the mother of his child, he is automatically considered a legal father. If he's not married to the mother of his child, he's not automatically considered a legal father. And instead, he has to take some affirmative step, sign what's usually called a voluntary acknowledgement of paternity, or there are other things as well. So first of all, he has to sort of prove himself up. But then also, the custody rules are very different. So in 15 states, if a child is born to unmarried parents, the mother automatically gets sole custody of the child. In family law, we really treat, and I'm using gender-specific terms here, in part because non-marital families tend to not, typically have not made a sort of explicit plan to have a child, so it is usually then a mother and a father. And so I'm using the counterpart for married families, although certainly married families can also be two men and two women. But in a married family, it tends to be mother, father, and child. And that's how the law treats them as a whole, certainly during the marriage, but even after the marriage. The law says, look, this child has two parents, and it's the law's role to facilitate a relationship between both parents and the child. In non-marital families, that's just not the case at all. Instead, it's much more about shoring up the relationship between the mother and the child, and then the father is very much on the side. And it's really up to him about whether or not he can insert himself back into the family. But the law doesn't make it easy and doesn't automatically just treat him like he's a family. Instead, the family is mother, child, father.
And while an unmarried father certainly has a right to seek out a custody order, Huntington says if we put ourselves in the shoes of some of these fathers, there are real barriers to actually getting that order.
So for fathers, the problem is they need to go to court. And for many of these fathers, court is not a place that they associate with good outcomes. It's a place, you know, many of these fathers have, criminal, involvement with the criminal justice system. So they associate court with that. Or they also have a child support order that was issued through a court, and that child support order is quite onerous. You know, they don't see the court as a problem solver or a positive source. And also, they have to go, they have to file papers, they have to navigate the whole system. You know, there are resources within the court to help these fathers. I don't want to make it sound like, A, they can't go, or B, it's so incredibly onerous, but it's not easy. And moreover, in many states, there are actually two different systems. The child support order could be issued through an administrative agency who just issues the child support order but doesn't have to, or is not allowed to, decide on custody. So they have to deal with one whole agency to deal with the child support order. Then they have to go to court to deal with their custody order. So as you might imagine, this is time-consuming, this is difficult, there's a lot of bureaucratic hassle.
Huntington says that given these sorts of issues, a lot of fathers will say, I'll just work it out with the mother. And that might work if the mom is willing to let him see the child, but it gives a lot of power to the mothers.
Sociologists use this term called maternal gatekeeping, which means that the mother gets to decide, in the absence of a custody order, which many of these families don't have, the mother decides whether or not the father's going to see the child. And she oftentimes keeps the father away for very good reasons. Maybe there's a history of domestic violence or whatever it might be. But she can also keep the father away for less sympathetic reasons, particularly she's often will keep the father away if she herself is in a new relationship. The father, the new partner may get jealous of the father, and so it's just easier for her to keep the father away while the new relationship is going on. So, but meanwhile, the child is not seeing his or her father.
When non-resident fathers who were never married to the mother are squeezed out like this as a result of established family law, it can reinforce certain negative ideas about their role in relation to their children.
We really have a norm now for married parents where both mothers and fathers are seen as breadwinners and caretakers. And the family law system really reinforces that if the parents get divorced, that both parents have some amount of time with the child, so they both, reinforces their role as caregivers, but then they also both have to be breadwinners. The days of lifetime alimony are long gone. So fathers are going to typically the fathers pay child support, but mothers also generally go back to work, and they both together raise, make the money to support the child. But the problem for non-marital families is that we just treat the fathers as breadwinners, just a paycheck, in the words of the people in the study done by Catherine Eden and Timothy Nelson. So the idea is we just monetize their relationship as opposed to really seeing them as caregivers. And these fathers have a tremendous amount of love and attention and care to give to their children. And we really need to take that seriously and make space for that relationship.
Professor Huntington says that when we talk about how family law can be made to work better for unmarried parents and their children, we can think of changing rules and changing institutions themselves.
For rules, one of my somewhat more out there suggestions or proposals is that we develop something called a co-parent status. So instead of saying that parents are married to each other and marriages could be dissolved anyway, we instead say that when a child is born, both parents assume a new legal status of co-parent, and they are a parent to a child and a co-parent to the other adult. And this comes with certain rights and responsibilities. And it's a way of institutionalizing these families. So that's one. A second would be the custody rules absolutely should be changed. So the default rule, the 15 states that have this rule, should abolish it such that mothers don't automatically get sole custody simply by virtue of being unmarried. Then the child support system also really needs to be revamped so that it acknowledges that many of these fathers have very limited economic means and simply are not going to be able to pay. They're not shirking child support. They simply are not able to pay child support in meaningful amounts, and we need to acknowledge that. So those are some changes to the rules. The institutions are one of the places where I think we really can make a lot of changes. I just don't think family court is an effective institution for a lot of these families, and yet families really need help, just in the same way a divorcing family does, making the transition from, in the words of Patrick Parkinson, who's a family law scholar in Australia, parenting together to parenting apart. So the idea is, how can we help this family transition from a family that's based on a romantic relationship between the parents to a family that's based on a co-parenting relationship between the parents? So also from Australia is this very promising model called the Family Relationship Center. And it's a community-based free mediation program that helps parents just very quickly, as they're separating, just come up with a sort of quick and dirty agreement about who's going to do what over the next 6 months. Not trying to resolve all problems for all time, but just how are we going to manage this transition? And then maybe they come back in 6 months, renegotiate. But the idea is to help them just get in the habit of cooperating and doing all this outside of the court system.
One of the goals of a system like this would be to reinforce the idea that both parents matter and that both parents should have a relationship with the child.
The idea is that the parents need to work together in order to raise this child, and that they take each other seriously as a parent, and also, try and work on their own relationship, because we really know this from research actually coming out of the IRP, that fathers are more likely to see their children if the father can maintain a good relationship with the mother. And so what we need to do is really be thinking about that parent-parent relationship and not just the parent-child relationship.
With non-marital families becoming far more common, Huntington says her biggest message is that we should move away from thinking that non-marital families are really so different from marital families.
Instead, we should see this as parents who care about their children, and we need a system that helps parents maintain relationships with their children and also with each other as co-parents. And we have that now, albeit not perfect, but we have that now for married families who get divorced. And we need to develop a similar system for unmarried parents who also end their relationship.
Thanks to Claire Huntington for talking with us. For more on her work in this area, you can look for her 2014 book, Failure to Flourish: How Law Undermines Family Relationships, which is available from Oxford University Press. Thanks for listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty.